Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Michael Kay Show.
Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., his watch, and the Cleveland Browns on Monday Night Football.
Do you guys hear the audio of Freddie Kitchens talking about his response to Odell?
No. He said, I'll tell you something right now, it's me, Freddie Kitchens. When I needed to know the time, I said, Daddy, what time is it? And he'd look outside and he said, how many hogs have you killed today, Freddie? And I said, Daddy, I didn't kill a hog. And he held me down to the ground and pulled a shotgun out. And he said, Freddie, the time is you're alive o'clock.
The days of unnamed sources have ended. And if I ever see it, they're fired immediately.
If, in fact, Odell leaks stuff to me, you'd fire him.
Oh, I fire him on the spot. I kill him. But guess what? I love Odell. I love that Odell because I got two brothers named Odell.
The Michael Kay Show.
It's Freddie, Charlie, Odell, and Larry. That's the Kitchen family.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes. Peter needs some help. All right, so we're thrilled that we have the coach of the Jets on with us, Adam Gase. The Adam Gase Report is brought to you by Windorama and Anderson Windows, M&T Bank, and Tullamore Dew. Adam, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're doing well. So you have a full day to consider, and you talked yesterday about it. Your thoughts a day removed after the loss on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm doing a little better today than yesterday. I know that much.
Now,
the further removed from it, and after meeting with the players, you know, you get into that mode of we're on to the next one. That's the beauty part about the NFL. You got to transition quick. You can't sit there and dwell on the last one.
Is it tough though that you let an opportunity get away where you were up 16-0? And I mean, what did you specifically see that let that lead get away?
Well, I think it was a combined effort. I go back to the beginning, kind of in that first half, where the defense did a great job of creating turnovers, put us in great position, scoring points, and we didn't take advantage of it on the offensive side. And I think that was disappointing for all of us because we talk about it so much of when the defense gives us these great opportunities and they steal possession for us, we got to find ways to get points. And not only three, we got to put seven on the board.
Right.
And when we do that, that changes the whole tide of the game. That's where the momentum swing comes. And that's where we just have to do a lot better job there.
Now, you want to let it go, but you want to learn from it too, Coach. So what did you learn on Sunday?
Well, I know this as an entire group, there's a lot that we learned, especially, you know, just kind of how we need to handle the end of the game, how we need to handle when we lose one of our better players as far as being able to rally right away, you know, not kind of getting off to a slow start. You know, when CJ went down, I think, you know, there was a little bit of that, oh, man, one of our better players went down. I think it took us a second to kind of, you know, regroup, and we just got to be able to do that a little quicker. I think the offensive side saw that. And we need to learn from that as well, because if something ever happens on our side of the ball, we got to be able to adjust quickly. We got to make sure that we don't throw ourselves in any kind of panic there.
Now, Adam, we had on Sam yesterday, and he said the right thing. And we wanted to ask you, he gets the ball with 3 minutes remaining, and you have a kicker that missed an extra point and a field goal, and you signed a new kicker today. My question to you, now that the game is in the rearview mirror, would you have even tried a field goal there, or was it just all about getting a touchdown because you wouldn't have risked it at that point?
If I would have had to, if that was our situation that we're in, I would have kicked a field goal. I think it was pretty obvious what I was trying to do.
Right.
You just look at kind of the throws that Sam was trying to make. You know, especially at first and 10, after we got the 4th and 1, we tried to take a shot there. You know, I kind of wish that on that 3rd and 1, I would have done the same thing. That's one of those ones where, unfortunately, I got to learn a hard lesson there where I felt like I didn't put our players in a great position. So, you know, I mean, we were trying to go for the touchdown.
Can you take us through what happens in a situation when someone like Mosley goes down? Because I think on the outside, we're not able to necessarily appreciate sort of the chaos it can create for the defense. What do you have to do?
It happens so fast. And sometimes, you know, not all the players always know, you know, because they're so wired in doing their job. I think the biggest thing that they notice is when they kind of hear a different voice, you know, whether it be calling the play or when we're lined up and you hear different voices talking than what you're used to. And it's, you know, a couple guys were kind of like, wow, I kind of didn't. At first it was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Because you know, it just everything's happening. It's moving quick. And, you know, some guys just they did their job. They focused on what they had to do. They weren't really worried about, you know, who was in there. And I think some guys kind of noticed it more than others.
Your thoughts on the offensive line?
I think that we had some things we did really well. I think there's some things that we need to correct. And really, that's how we're looking at it as a whole group. You know, I feel like there was some of the protection stuff we did a really good job on. We picked up some tough pressures. Sean had a really good package that he showed us that was unscouted looks. And I thought our guys did a good job of coming to the sideline, adjusting, communicating, letting us know what was going on. I thought Sam did a good job of communicating with the whole line. Those guys were doing a good job in that aspect. I feel like there's some things that we need to clean up. Unfortunately, it comes with a loss, which you'd love to be able to get out of that game specifically and say, hey, we won, but we've learned this many things.
Right.
You know, and especially this at the first four games, that first quarter, you know, you have to win your home games, and we didn't get that done.
You know, everybody's kind of in the same boat, so it's not an excuse, Coach, but when any area struggles or if there's any negative, could you look back and say, boy, if this unit of five got to play more in the preseason, maybe we wouldn't have had some of the problems we had in week one?
It still doesn't change the fact that we did play a team in the first week of the season that has a very good defensive coordinator who is the head coach who makes it very difficult. Just playing him the amount of times I've played him, every time I've gone in the game, he'll throw things at you and you sit there and you go, wow, that was creative. That was a smart move by him. And it's tough. I mean, you see a lot of football. I wish I could say it would have been different. I just don't know. But at the same time, I just know how tough it is just playing that guy in general.
Now, we don't expect Adam Gase to be Mouse Davis, but we do expect you to be an innovator and daring and all that. And you seemed pretty conservative on Sunday. Was that because McDermott took away anything, or were you just conservative on this one day?
I think there was a few opportunities that we tried to take advantage of. We knew what we were going into. Their secondary does do a good job of taking away any kind of deep throws. I do think at the beginning of the game, it felt like we weren't in rhythm really. So it's hard to get overly aggressive when none of us really felt like we were in rhythm. It was like we went three and out, and then the defense puts points on the board, and all of a sudden they're back on the field. And it took us a while to kind of really get in a rhythm. You know, we were trying to do some things and push the ball down the field sometimes. It just didn't really work out the way we were hoping for.
Now, you promised us when you were on with us last week, and boy, were you right. Le'Veon Bell did not have any rust at all. It looked like he had played last week. I mean, that had to be very heartening for you. This guy looked really good.
Well, you know, when he speaks, like when you talk to him, there's no BS behind him. And he shoots you straight. And he said it right away when I talked to him on Tuesday night last week, and he told me, he said, do not hold back. Do not worry. I'm in great shape. He's like, I'm in the best shape of my life. He's like, I'm ready to go. I'm fired up. He's like, just turn me loose. Let me do what I need to do. He goes, and I'll do everything I can to help us win. And that right there was enough for me to understand, like, this guy's not coming out of the game. And we talked about it on Saturday where I told him, I was like, you're going until you tell us different. And he never came to us one time where he was like, hey, I'm tired. The guy's in phenomenal shape.
Now, yesterday you seemed a little bit more impressed with Sam than you did, like, immediately after the game on Sunday. What jumped out at you at film that maybe you couldn't see on the field?
I think his decision-making with really kind of pre-snap stuff, I thought was a lot better than what it felt like early. I even felt like some of the discussions we were having on the sideline, there was a couple times where I think he felt a little frustrated. But well, going back and look at it, it was, all right, hey, you were clean here. You did a good job here. You did what we needed you to do. And we have a couple things that we could have easily cleaned up. He recognized some of his mistakes within the game that didn't really hurt us. And I felt like, you know, going back and watch it, it was just a lot cleaner than what I felt like during the game.
Adam Gase, the Jets head coach, is with us here on the Michael Kay Show. C.J. Mosley, will he play this Monday? Is he ready, you think?
Yeah, I think we're looking at, you know, we're day-to-day with him and Quinnen. And, you know, the good thing is having a little longer week, you know, that gives us hope. And it's just going to be about how his body reacts, both those guys, and how quickly they can recover. I mean, I do think it is helpful that, you know, one guy's, you know, 21 years old and, you know, a physical freak, and the other guy's just – played a lot of football, and he knows how to kind of operate, you know, maybe not at 100%.
All right, Sam Thicken, you signed him today. There were five kickers supposedly there. Is your head spinning about, I mean, why is this kicker thing so difficult? And a lot of Jet fans want to know, did you guys consider Nick Folk at all, who certainly has a history here, and he's just 34 years old?
Yeah, I mean, I know that nobody wants to hear me say this, but I'm relying on our personnel department. I'm relying on our special teams coaches to really kind of bring the right guy in here. You know, those guys are the expert in that area. I don't get hung up on it too much. Whoever gets brought in here, my trust goes into them, and I believe that they're going to do a good job. Maybe that's just kind of how I've always been. You know, it's worked out for me in the past, and I know this first week wasn't ideal, but, you know, hopefully we can get this thing straightened out and it becomes a non-issue.
All right, initial thoughts on Cleveland Monday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a challenging game for us. I mean, obviously, they have a lot of good players. You know, they're kind of in the same boat as us as far as, you know, we both started off with a loss. You know, the good thing is it's Monday night. I think guys are going to be really excited on our side, and we're at home, and we have another opportunity to go out and try to win a home game.
Does it, in dealing with him, Greg Williams, from what we hear, is always pumped up. Does he desperately want to beat this team that didn't hire him as a coach?
You know, he hasn't said that to me. I think he's more interested in just trying to make sure that our guys are ready to go. You know, none of those conversations have really come up. I think he's really, the only conversation we had was, hey, if you need anything from us that have been there about some of the players that are there, you know, let's have that conversation, which, you know, there's been a couple already. We got a long ways to go before we actually play this game, so we have time to keep kind of picking and prodding at some of those type of things. And, you know, Greg's been very helpful when it comes to, he knows players well, and he's got a lot of guys that he's coached around the league that he helps us with.
Now, I know that you're the Jet coach, you care about the Jets, you care about what happened on Sunday, but I've always said this, Adam, you'll get to know me. If ESPN ever got rid of me, I would want it to fail terribly, even if it affected people that I know and
like me.
Right. I'd have to be in the toilet. So were you happy that the Dolphins got embarrassed on Sunday?
That's one I'd rather not answer. I know this. I was happy for Kenny Stills last night when he caught that touchdown pass against New Orleans. That was a shame they lost, but I was happy for Kenny, and I thought, you know, it was good to see Laramie look like he was playing pretty well.
Now, you're all business, and you've had a lot of work since you got here, but when you step on the field on Sunday and the building's packed and it's opening day, do you at least take a second to appreciate all the stuff that's going on?
You know what? This time around, I did. Mm-hmm. This time around, I did. I really just kind of soaked it all in because, you know, this being the first game here and just kind of seeing our crowd and the excitement, you know, that's probably what probably stung more than anything when we lost that game, was just knowing that that's not the result we were hoping for and we wanted, because I know the expectations here. And, you know, we have high expectations ourselves, and, you know, that's where we have to figure out a way to win our home games. And when it's a close game at the end, that's where, you know, we got to hyper focus on what we're doing and get W's at the end of the game.
Disappointed with the Nathan Shepherd news?
Yeah, that's like one of those things where, you know, we kind of had an idea that was coming. You know, it's mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, I feel like he's handled everything the right way. You know, we talk about owning things and stepping up, and if we make a mistake, just understand that can't happen again, and I feel like he's done that.
I love the fact, Coach, that he just came out and said, yeah, I did it. I was trying to impress a new coaching staff. Other people say, well, I accidentally backed into a needle or bought something at 7-Eleven. This guy actually said, yeah, I did it, because, I mean, there's something refreshing about that. You don't want him to get suspended, but he's honest.
Yeah, he's been nothing but a hard worker. He's been very straightforward with myself, the front office, the coaching staff. He was very disappointed kind of when everything kind of first started going down, and I feel like he's handled everything the right way.
Are you a little disappointed that a great player like Antonio Brown ends up with the Patriots, a team that you're going to battle twice?
It's just one of those things that, you know, we can't control, and, you know, we'll have plenty of time to you know, worry about them when that time comes. And, you know, it is what it is.
Great stuff, Adam. Good luck on Monday. We thank you for coming on, as always.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That's the Adam Gase Report brought to you by Windorama and Anderson Windows. Ready to replace your windows? Start with the window installation experts at Windorama. Visit Windorama.com today to get started. M&T Bank, the official community bank of the New York Jets, and Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended smooth sipping Irish whiskey. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Can I be brutally honest here?
Please.
That was the best coaching interview we've done since maybe the early days of Rex. And it wasn't because of us.
And be honest, you weren't expecting it.
No. I had some trepidation coming in.
Trepidation.
Because the guy wants to win and he's intense and you know he's intense, but he was honest and he had a little bit of humor attached to it as well. I love the fact that he didn't say.
He was great.
Oh, absolutely not. I wasn't rooting against Dolphins. Of course you're rooting for the team to lose.
That non-answer was the answer.
Oh, it was perfect. And now, for those that don't know what we're talking about with Nathan Shepard, he's a defensive tackle with the Jets. He was suspended 6 games for the NFL for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. He will be eligible to return to the Jets' active roster Monday, October 28th. But here's the difference. He told NFL.com he knowingly took the banned substances while he was recovering from shoulder and groin injuries this summer. He said sports hernia surgery he underwent led to a herniated disc in his back, and he took the substances to speed his recovery, wanting to impress new coach Adam Gase. All that was going on, I was coming off a subpar season, new coaching staff, new playbook, new everything. In my mindset, I didn't feel very confident with how everything had gone thus far. In my mind, I was so prepared to come into this offseason, have a successful offseason, and train very hard. I felt that because of these limitations, I wasn't going to be able to do that. I made a rash decision, an unwise decision, and a selfish decision to look to certain PEDs in order to help me with that recovery process so I would be ready to go. Good for him. Not good for him that he did it. But he's not a phony like everybody else. Oh, I took something at GNC that I didn't. Well, you know what? Check everything. This guy, this is what I did. I wanted to make the team. This is what I did. It's not good to cheat, but it's good to be honest.
And here's the other part of it too, Michael. It's not gratuitous. It's a guy that took it because he realized if he didn't take it, he's going to get cut anyway.
Right.
Like the sheer desperation of, listen, on the surface, it looks like the stupidest thing in the world. I know I'm going to get caught. But I was just in a position that if I didn't take it, I was going to get cut anyway. So he thought it was worth the risk that if he did sneak through, he gets a chance to play.
Good for him. Bad for him that he gets suspended, but good for him for being a stand-up guy and telling the truth. Again, if you're going to be a cheater, then stand up and say, listen, I tried to cheat and I got caught. It's my bad. I take responsibility. Instead of blaming it on a doctor that didn't tell you about this or that, or, you know, it was a weight loss that, like, you know, Michael Pineda with the Twins. I was trying to lose weight please just admit when you do something. And that includes everybody. I backed into a needle. I was at a drive thru and I backed into a needle and that needle had a PED in it. So I had no idea how it got. Please. We're smarter than that. We really are. At least. Donna,
some of
I am.
Excuse me?
Sorry?
Peter's smarter than both of us. You have no idea.
Wait, you really believe that?
I believe he's smarter than me.
Well, that's true, but you think he's smarter than me?
He's right there. He's closer than you think.
He's shrewd.
Well, that's part of it. Street smart should count for something.
I don't think I'm that shrewd.
Well, then you're not even close.
He's more shrewd than shrewd.
Yeah. I have a big dictionary.
Thank you.
No, he's a very intelligent person.
I feel very, very good about Gase. I think that's going to be a great spot the rest of the year.
I told you, Michael. I know that things kind of started off rocky the way it all went down with where it just looked like he kind of took over and all that. But I do genuinely like him. We've talked to him several times. I think he just comes across as genuine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's phony.
I think it's a must listen for every New York fan out there. You must tune in every time he's on. You never know what he's going to say.
And we don't even have rapport with him yet. By week 8. When we get to know him.
If he's 0-8, I don't think we're going to have a report.
He's not going to be 0-8. They're going to be 1-1.
Oh!
Is that 3 points to you? 2 or 1?
Could be. Hold on. Let's play. What, do we have to take a break?
No,
we have
got
a few
time.
Minutes here.
All of a sudden, you're worried about the clock?
I would figure the spread's probably the same as it was last week. I bet you the Jets are favored by 2.5.
No.
I didn't even look at it.
Well, I don't think so.
Michael, do you have a thought?
I think the Jets are underdogs.
You think the Jets are underdogs at home?
I believe they are.
Well, that makes it even spicier for Peter.
This could be something I'm very, very interested in. Michael, did you hear what the line was yesterday?
No.
For the Patriots?
No.
Take a guess.
Patriots at Miami.
At Miami.
17.
Oh, my God.
He saw it.
No, I didn't. No, is that what it was?
No, but he's Mr. Gambler Man now.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot. He's Dave Rothenberg.
17.
No, except I win.
17.5. The Jets are
off by half.
What did you say the Jets were?
I'd say the 2.5 point underdogs.
You got that right. You got that right too.
And he saw it.
I did not. Yeah,
come on, Michael. What? How do you not see it? Because you're a degenerate now, and the degenerates know.
I did not see it. Right. I got home. I got to bed after driving from Boston at 2:30 in the morning. The kids woke me up at 7. I walked them out to the bus. I went back to bed.
He makes it like life is getting the newspaper. Like he couldn't, all the things he was doing, he couldn't just pick up his phone and check.
By the way, the line, the Patriots line's up to 18.5.
Now,
see, I was wrong.
Maybe the Buccaneers back in 76 when they were 0-14, a team at home.
18.5 point dog.
18.5 point dog at home.
I'm saying it right now. And you guys know I don't show my political leanings.
Oh, you never have. But I don't even know who you like.
I know exactly who you like.
There are some people out there who, given the way things have played out in Miami,
right,
will really be enjoying the way the season plays out. Some may feel the exact opposite. Kenny Stills, for example, who stood up against Stephen Ross.
Right.
They had some divide.
Right.
Kenny Stills was traded. He's probably enjoying the fact that his team may be this. I was saying to Don, this could be historically bad.
Now, I have to ask you one
could be
thing,
worst team ever.
Because I was in the car. Did Kenny Stills kneel yesterday? Because, I mean, the Houston Texans are an unbelievably conservative organization.
Did he kneel all last year?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? I didn't even think about kneeling until you just brought it up. My guy was completely
out. He did kneel.
Yep,
wow,
he did.
Good for him. Because it would have been a story that he capitulated because their ownership is incredibly conservative. So is Stephen Ross that he did it.
Yeah, but apparently Stephen Ross had enough. And then I'm just telling you, I want to know, Don, we're going to be talking halfway through the season. Is this Dolphins team the worst team that's ever played?
Are you taking the Jets? This is where this conversation started.
Yeah, the Jets are getting points.
Yeah.
I'm riding with the Jets. I'm sticking with the Jets this weekend. Not a three-pointer, though.
I might have to drive to Jersey, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're going to become a Jersey guy. We're going to find out.
I might get a small apartment.
All right, well, hold on. Let's test with Michael. Let's see where Michael's at here. Cowboys at the Redskins.
Cowboys at Redskins, 6.5, Cowboy favorite.
Donald?
8.5.
Wow, you guys both disrespect the Redskins more than the league does. Cowboys are 4.5 point favorite.
Oh, that's a gift.
That is an attractive
one. Oh, that's a sexy, sexy pick.
That's sexy.
I mean, that's Jessica Rabbit.
You know what the Redskins are getting?
Small shows. You know what number jumps to mind more than the spread?
Three.
That looks like a three.
That's screaming three to you.
Oh, really?
Meaning the value of the pick. I mean, wow. Well, you get a Jessica Rabbit.
Well, the Redskins are forced to start Adrian Peterson this week, so they
might
be good.
Before we do this, let's take a brief timeout, okay? Can we do that?
No, we should.
All right, so we got a lot of stuff to do. We just spoke to Adam Gase. You heard what the coach had to say. It's a brilliant interview. I think it's a must-listen every single week. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit them at geico.com on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.